You know, we have a saying on the mission field: where you lead, I will follow, and what you feed, I will swallow. And then my version of it is, if you chew anything long enough, it will go away. Always remember that. We're going to talk about it. In fact, we'll talk about food. For years, I mean years and years and years, one of my very best friends lived right next door. I mean, driveway to driveway, back door to back door, windows to windows. She lived right next door to her mother-in-law. Think about that. This can go a lot of directions, but the good news is they got along great. But every Thursday, every single Thursday, 50-something times a year, they had to go to the mother-in-law's house to eat dinner. And every Thursday, every single Thursday, they had the same thing for dinner: a pork tenderloin and microwaved broccoli and potatoes. Every Thursday, every single. You know, sermons can be like that. I don't mean here, of course, but sermons can be like that. I mean, we're taught, take an Old Testament lesson, take a New Testament lesson, share the gospel, share some hope, put a poem on the end of it, do whatever else it is you're going to do, but whatever you do, get them out before the Baptist. Every Sunday, every single. You know, I mean, what if? What if sometimes we could just set all that aside and have a biblical buffet, a spiritual smorgasbord? What if we could just run amok in the Word of God and pick passages we really like and just feed on God's Word? I would start with the passage in Genesis that we heard this morning. Abraham and Isaac are together. Isaac asks his father, "Where's the lamb that's to be sacrificed?" Abraham answers, "Jehovah Jireh, God will provide." Not just a statement of fact, that's a statement of truth. God will provide. I would take that passage and then I'd flip over to the book of Hebrews, where the writer says faith is the assurance of things hoped for. It's conviction of things not seen. The definition of faith. Then I'd probably take truth and I would take faith and I would put them together, and you know what you get? You get, "I believe God will provide." Say that with me. I believe God will provide. That's the definition of prayer. That's the way we enter into a mission conference. That's how we look at the challenge of funding great work that we've heard about and great work around the world. I believe God will provide. If I pledge it, God will provide it. Then I'd get into prayer. Because saying, "I believe God will provide," that is the definition of prayer. And I would look all throughout Scripture. And how many places do we read about the incredible power of prayer? "Where two or more are gathered, our prayers will be answered. He is faithful and just, forgives us and hears our prayers. Whatever you ask in God's name, He will do." All these exciting passages. And then I would come to the conclusion that we must be incredible prayer warriors. And so I'd want to know, when was the last time you saw God do something supernatural in your life because of prayer? When was the last time you saw a healing or a miracle? Tell me about it. And being good Presbyterians, we'd all kind of shuffle around and look down. And then finally, somebody would finally say, Ben, just last night I prayed over that pot roast and it wasn't near as tough as it usually is. Does that count? Sometimes it seems like we short-circuit ourselves in the Presbyterian church and don't claim all the strength that's ours in Christ. I call that Pharaoh-itis. Everybody remember Pharaoh? Pharaoh had the people of Israel, held them captive. Moses comes to Pharaoh, and what does he say? "Let my people go." What does Pharaoh say? "No, not going to do it. Wouldn't be prudent. Going to keep them." So then what happens? Moses turns the Nile River into blood. Doesn't do a thing. Second curse. Moses covers Egypt in frogs. Now, not all of you know this, but just for the record, I'm from Tennessee. I ain't got a thing in the world against frogs. I want you to know that. I've had frogs in the shower with me before. But I don't want frogs in the bed with me. They make awful noises at night. I don't want frogs on my dinner plate. They know nothing of manners and etiquette. They're very sloppy. The people of Israel of Egypt didn't want that either. So the people of Egypt sends Moses to see Pharaoh to ask a very important question. Hey, Pharaoh, when do you want the frogs to go away? How would you answer that? Now. I mean, yeah. Pharaoh had an incredible answer. When do you want the frogs to go away? And Pharaoh says one word. Tomorrow. Tomorrow. Look it up. It's in the Bible. He says tomorrow. As in he wants to spend another night with the frogs. Why? Same reason we do. Same reason we want to spend another night with the frogs. It's so we got somebody to blame it on. Think about this. Years later, Pharaoh was wandering around the old retired Pharaoh's club and is muttering to himself just a little too loud. And he goes, you know, I could have been a contender. I could have been a great Pharaoh. But no, I had frogs. Could have been four pyramids. But no. I had frogs. I could have kept the Jews. We would have invented bagels. I could have bought a house on the water at Boca. But no, I had frogs. And we do the same thing, don't we? Oh, my life could have been great. But 30 years ago, I got caught and everybody heard about it. 20 years ago, I got away with it and it still clips at my heels. My life could have been great, but somebody called me a name. Somebody broke my heart. Somebody left me that I thought would always be there. And now anytime I start to feel good about myself, I remember my past. And I just collapse right back down again. And so we complain. Listen to what Paul said. I'm convinced that neither death nor life, height nor depth, powers nor principalities, things present, things to come. What else is it? Nothing in all creation can what? Separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Paul left out the thing that separates us from God in the love of Jesus. Listen to it again. I'm convinced that neither height nor depth, death nor life, powers nor principalities, things present, things to come, nothing in all creation can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Paul left out the past because that is the thing that keeps us from having a full life in Christ. Mark Twain said this. Mark Twain said the inability to forget, oh, that's much worse than the inability to remember. And so we complain. I want to speak for Biff and for me. I've known most of you for a quarter of a century, if not longer. And I want you to know, you can call us and complain about stuff anytime you want to. I'll give you my home number. You can wake me up in the middle of the night. You can complain about anything you want to complain about. But from now on, when you complain, you have to end your complaint by saying, "And that's just the way I like it." Yeah, I've got a kind of a miserable life. I've let my past just control me. And that's just the way I like it. Oh, yeah, I could have been so involved in church, but somebody called me a name and I believed it. And that's just the way I like it. Gee, Ben's sermon sure is going on a long time. I did this youth conference in Missouri. Is anybody from Missouri that'll admit it? You can tell me after church. Part of the youth conference was we were going to get in a van and drive 4 hours there and 4 hours back to go paint a little church out in the country. This delightful young man's going to drive me up there. Missouri is the land of the big van. That's all I can say. I've never seen huge, huge vans. I get in the van. The passenger seat is as big as that front pew, and it's real smushy. And I sit down, and I'm enveloped in this seat. And I did like anybody else would do. I just fell sound asleep. When I woke up, I realized the fella driving the van hadn't noticed that I was asleep. And he was carrying on a conversation with me as if I was awake. I had no idea what he's talking about. And I'm sitting there watching him. He's just talking away. And then I realized he ends every sentence by saying, "So." "Well, yeah, I got a wife and a couple of kids. So." "Yeah, I work in a factory. So." "Yeah, life's pretty good. So." And I sat there going, you know, sweet Jesus, if I have to hear this for 8 hours, I'm going to scream. And the heavens opened. The Lord stuck his head out and looked at me and went, "So." Let me ask you something. Have you ever had somebody just really unload on you? I mean, maybe this morning. I can look at your faces and tell if it happened today. I want you to know that. And, you know, they're just letting you have it. And if you're like me, when somebody does that, you let them have it back. And you both know how to hurt each other. So you're kind of swapping blows like this. And nothing gets solved. And finally, it just sort of goes, ugh. And you're right back where you started from. My son Benjamin told me to do this. He said, next time somebody comes at you like that, just sit there. Don't say a word. Just sit there. Let them just go on and on and on and on. And let them just keep going. And when they've kind of run out of steam, ask them a question. And the question is this: is there anything else you'd like to say? And if you do that, they'll crank it right back up again. Oh, yeah, as a matter of fact, and they'll go right back at you again. Let them do that. Let them do it. They run out of steam again, and keep doing that until they've run out of steam. And at the end of it all, at the end of it all, you will not have said a thing. They'll just have emptied out everything, and you'll get along fine. Try it and see. But first, I want you to try it with yourself. I want you to get off by yourself somewhere. Look yourself in a mirror in the bathroom. Look at the mirror when you're driving, not for long, but glance at it so you can see yourself. And I want you to tell yourself everything you've ever needed to say to yourself. Talk about your shortcomings, talk about your failures, talk about your sins, talk about your past. Get it all out. And when you've run out, look at yourself and go, is there anything else you want to say? And then crank it back up again and keep doing it until you've just run out of everything. And you know what's at the bottom of that? By the time you have emptied that bucket, you will find that you have taken a step away from your past and closer to accepting the forgiveness of Jesus Christ, and that will change your life. And oh, Ben, you've gone from preaching and being cute to meddling. Ben, I'm too young, too old, too fat, too thin, too rich, too poor, too dumb. I cannot change. If you were with me in Sunday school this morning, you know that we work in many places, one of which is an island called Bali in Indonesia. It's a Hindu island. We work with farmers who grow three things: rice, corn, and manioc. Every year, these farmers struggle either with drought that wipes out the crops, or they get floods and landslides that flood their crops. And when this happens, Dad has to leave the farm and go into town and get a job digging ditches. This happens all over the world, just so that that man can send money back to help look after his family. In Indonesia, horrible things happen at this juncture. Because in Indonesia, this is when the vultures start to circle the farm. And the vultures circle the farm, and then they land in front of Mom, and the vulture says, "My, what attractive children you have. How old is that little girl? Is she 12? You know, I can get her a job in town. She can make money and send money back to you. In fact, I'm so sure of it, I'll give you some money now, and she can just pay me back." And before you know it, that child has been sold into human trafficking. Indonesia is the number one human trafficking destination in the world. I am not allowed to go. The men in this sanctuary should probably not be allowed to go, because if we met those folks, we'd all deal with them in the same way, and that would get us in a bunch of trouble. So thank the Lord we've got Pastor Pak and Pastor Gondes, two young men who are seminary educated, who are both agriculturalists. And they started a program called Food Always in the Home. That spells faith. And they're teaching these families. Well, first they teach Dad how to take a plastic Coca-Cola bottle. They're everywhere in the world. Turn it sideways, cut the top out of it, turn it into a planter, tie 50 of them together, and Dad starts growing two crops, little red chilies and great big long beans that are sold in every restaurant and market in Indonesia. He has an automatic cash crop that will not fail. Dad no longer has to leave the farm. If his field crops do well, hallelujah. You know his crops at home are going to do great. He's making more money than he's ever made, and he doesn't have to leave the home. Do you see that? While that's going on, the mother and the children are being introduced to new plants, seeds, vegetables, crops, tools, and farming methods from our staff, teaching them how to grow new and nutritious foods to add nutrition into their diets. Corn, rice, and manioc doesn't do it. You got to have fruit. You got to have vegetables. Well, now we're doing that into their lives. Then with the children, the little kids take a program that's called WASH. Stands for water, sanitation, and hygiene. Teaching people how to look after their bodies. What's the end result? Remember, these are Hindu people. Notice I haven't mentioned Jesus. They know who we are. They know that Pak and Gondes are pastors. They know that they come and they go saying, God bless you. And they know that they should say, God bless you back, but they don't really know what it means. But all of a sudden, they got money. They got food. The little girls are at home and they're safe. They're healthier than they've ever been. And now we have Hindu families coming to our church and they say, we just want to ask one question. Sure, what is it? Will you tell us some more about this guy, Jesus, who changed our life? Say amen. Let me tell you something. If Jesus can change the life of a farmer who lives on the side of Mount Agung on the island of Bali in Indonesia, that same Jesus can change the life of anybody in Albany, Georgia. Amen. Whew. That's pretty much my buffet. It's time for a little dessert and I'll let you go. The passage that Becky read, she keeps changing her name from Becky to Beth on me. I might have to come up with my own name for you. Beth read a passage from John that's pretty complicated. Part of it said, in those days, you know that I'm in you, you're in me, and I'm in the Father. And you think, what? Let me show you this. This is so great. Jesus said, in those days, you will know that I, meaning Jesus, I am in you. That means you as a disciple of Jesus Christ. I am in you. Watch this. I'm going to put this inside there. Do you see that? I am in you. You, meaning you, are in me. That's Jesus. We'll put this inside here. Watch this. This is so neat. I'm in you. You are in me. And then Jesus said, I, meaning Jesus, am in the Father. Do you see that? Let me put this inside here. That goes in there. In those days, you'll know that I'm in you, you're in me, and I am in the Father. Do you know what this means? What this means is that because of Jesus Christ, there isn't anything that can come at you from the inside or the outside unless the Father and the Son allow it. And if they allow it, the Holy Spirit will help you handle it. Give me an amen. There you go. Say it to you one more time. Because of Jesus, there isn't anything, not your past, not the things you did and got away with, not the stuff you did and got caught for, not the name somebody called you, not the pain you felt, not the challenge of the financial responsibilities of a mission conference. None of this can come at us unless the Father and the Son allow it. And if they allow it, the Holy Spirit is going to help you handle it. Remember that when you pledge. All right, there's some takeaways and we're done. Today's takeaways include this. I want you to say this after me. The first takeaway, I believe God will provide. And that's just the way I like it. Is there anything else you want to say? Yes, there is, but you don't have to say it. I'll say it for you. I believe there isn't anything coming at me from the inside or the outside unless the Father and the Son allow it. And if they allow it, the Holy Spirit is going to help me handle it. So, I know this. This is Paul talking. Hadn't gotten there yet, but I know this much. Forgetting the past, looking forward to the future, I press on for the prize that's mine in Christ Jesus. And as you do that, God bless you. You stay strong. And God bless America. Let's pray together. Father, this day, once again, we ask that you place upon our hearts a burden of hope. As we look at the needs of this world and we're so confounded, how can we? Father, we can't, but you can. When we're called to go, no, Lord, not me, yes, you. When we're called to give, someone else, no, you. When we want to hang on, Father, help us let go. When we wrestle with our past, erase it. You have forgiven us. Enable us to forgive ourselves that leaving this place, we go prepared to give, to serve, to pray, and to grow in Jesus Christ our Lord, in whose name we pray. Amen. God bless you.